listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? Once again, my name is not Matt Pollard. My name is not Daniel Sperry. This is the second time this week, hold your applause, that you are hearing my voice. I'm Rachel Krieger. I'm hosting again for the second time this week. Welcome to the Last Word Soccer Club Radio podcast, brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network, Icarus FC, Roughneck Scarves, excuse me, and Last Word on Sports Incorporated. It is a Thursday night at the time of recording. The other podcast I had referenced, if you haven't listened, check it out. It was Rachel and the Boys, B-O-Y-Z, and we're going to trademark that sometime. It was myself, Jamie Rook, and Harvey Cruz. We did red light, yellow light, green light for MLS. But now we're flipping gears. We are going to the other league in the United States of America, and we are talking some NWSL tonight. We are talking some U.S. Women's National Team tonight. We're talking a lot of stuff tonight, but it's not just me. I keep saying we. So I'm going to bring in my co-host tonight, Trevor Tracy, our friend out on the West Coast. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. As you know, I made the decision to watch This Is Us before we recorded this podcast, and like I texted Trevor and I was like, I'm not going on video because my face is literally red from crying. I love that show so much. Yeah. I can't believe it's ending, but I was a sobbing mess. What are you watching that's good? Anything?
No, it's just been a lot of just sports. I mean, it's been a lot of WNBA action. When I'm not locked into the NWSL, I'm fully on board with the W. I'm an Aces supporter, so I'm having a lot of fun early on this year. Getting to watch Asia Wilson develop an outside shot, that's been fun. Just getting to watch some hoops, you know, NBA playoffs are on, that's fun. Not as fun when the Lakers aren't in it from my perspective, but, you know, I'll always support the W. It's been fun, but that's pretty much where I'm at and what I'm watching right now.
This is like the first year I haven't like paid attention to the NBA playoffs. I've been able to catch a little bit of the WNBA just because of location. I've claimed myself as a Mystics fan, which has actually worked out very well because I don't know if you know her, but Shatori Walker Kimbrough actually went to my high school, and she was I think she was a grade or 2 years older than me. She might have been in my brother's grade. So I think she was 2 years older than me. And we had a couple study halls and gym class and lunch together. So as I'm sure you can imagine, gym class with Shatori was a lot of fun. I highly doubt she remembers me. If she does, she probably knows me as Zach's sister. So I've like, when she got picked up by the Mystics, I was like, oh, cool. And then I, you know, never made it out to a game, but I'm moving back to Pittsburgh in August. So hopefully I'll be able to catch a game sometime either this year or next year.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed. But the women's league that you and I both know and love and support very much, the NWSL, we are in the regular season now. We are completely in the regular season. What's that?
I said also in full effect.
NWSL full effect,
also
yes.
Starting off.
In the thick of the regular season, the Challenge Cup is over. We'll get to that in a minute. The Challenge Cup's over. We're in the regular season. It's very early in the start of the season. Tonight, we're going to do a segment that if you listen to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, you know it very well, contenders and pretenders. So Trevor and I are going to take a crack at that. Just want to give a shout out to our friend Dan Sperry, who covers the KC Current. So if you ever want to get up to date with your KC Current, follow Sperry Daniel 94 on Twitter. Trevor is our main guy on the West Coast. So if you ever want to get the know about Angel City, San Diego, give him a follow. Trevor, remind me of your Twitter handle again.
It's Treb. So T-R-E-B as in boy. And then Tracy. Just part of my first name and then the last name.
Nice. I don't have a team. I mean, I live outside of Orlando, but as I said, I'll be moving back. And then I think the team in closest proximity to me is Washington. But I just kind of generally cover the league. But if you're into Liga MX, you can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Kruger. So we're going to get right into news real quick. We got some bullet points that we want to talk about. We're going to start with the bad news first. So we're going to get that out of the way. In late April, it was announced that James Clarkson, the head coach of the Houston Dash, is suspended effective immediately. And it was because of, quote, in light of recent findings received this week. So they're referencing the week of April 26th. In light of recent findings received this week from the joint NWSL and NWSL Players Association investigation that was launched last year to review current and historic complaints of discrimination, harassment, and abuse, end quote. So pretty much the suspension came right after they discovered recent findings. So they got the findings that week and then they made the suspension public. Jessica Berman, who just started as NWSL commissioner, we'll get back to that in a minute. She said, quote, as it relates to this particular situation, I want to thank the individuals who brought their concerns to the joint investigation team. Later on, she said, I want to thank the players and the staff throughout the league who have participated in the overall investigation thus far and assure them, as well as our fans and partners, that we will deliver on our promise to create a workplace where players and staff are empowered to succeed in a healthy and safe environment, end quote. James Clarkson is still suspended for the time being. He has not made it. He hasn't been back on the sidelines yet. I know they named an interim head coach, but I can't think of who it is off of the top of my head. Trevor, just any reaction to this unfortunate news that I will say was handled much quicker than, you know, the Paul Riley incident last year, the Richie Burke incident, or of course the Rory Dames incident.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's another unfortunate incident in the league that's trying to clean up its image and do right by players. You know, we'll be talking about some of the good things that have happened in women's soccer. But as far as this, as you said, at least something happened quickly. I think everyone understands that you're not always going to be able to prevent the bad things from happening. But I think in the past, we've seen from the NWSL just their slow response on things, their slow response to investigate, their slow response to listen to players when they have legitimate concerns, their slow response to just do everything. And so to see them act on this, to see him out of the team immediately while they figure this out was really good to see. But it's just, it's another unfortunate situation, but it's also something that sadly we're going to have to deal with for a while the league cleans up, because you're not going to be able to get all of the bad apples, so to speak, in one go. There's always going to be a few lingering around. So as long as the league continues to act fast and do the right thing, I think we can't really complain too much. As long as we continue to hold them accountable to those things, that's all we can really do right now.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think Houston, you know, the league, Houston, you know, everybody, kudos to jumping on it as quickly as they can. Obviously, an investigation is happening. I think, you know, whatever comes out of it, I just think they need to be as transparent with it as they can. We know very well that last year there were a lot of issues with transparency, a lot of inconsistencies, mm-hmm. and just, it was just chaos. Like, I mean, there's no other way for it. There's good chaos and there's bad chaos.
Yeah. Not the good chaos.
And this was not the good chaos. So hopefully, you know, I'm already, what's the word I'm looking for? Comforted, I guess, in the fact that they said, hey, it's recent findings. We jumped on it very quickly. So I think the league, you know, they deserve their kudos for that. I mean, doing that as quickly as they did. But that's the bad news. And we're done with the bad news. We're not going to talk about, like, it's, let the league handle it at this point now. we're going to move on to something that is going to make North Carolina fans happy, maybe not Washington Spirit fans happy, but the North Carolina Courage won the NWSL Challenge Cup this year, 2-1 over the Washington Spirit. It was a crazy game in terms of officiating, just not the greatest refereeing, some horrendously missed calls. And then, of course, still thinking of Jordan Baggett, formerly known as Jordan DiBiase of the Spirit, who had a, I believe she had a seizure during the game. I don't know if that was confirmed or not, but she had a medical issue after having a head or collision with her head. So Washington kept posting updates about her. She was home resting. She's recovering now. So thank God for that. Glad to hear that she's doing better. But North Carolina Courage, I mean, going back, Trevor, to their Western New York Flash days, because let's be honest, it's basically the same team. They're just adding to the trophy case, man. What did you watch? What did you think of it?
Oh yeah, I watched. The match itself was interesting. There was definitely some parts of the match, especially late there, where it got pretty hairy. But yeah, North Carolina continues to add to the trophy case, as you said. Another trophy in there, the Challenge Cup this time. I'm sure fans will be happy with the trophy, but I'm sure they'll also be happy that the tournament's over now, just because they did kind of sacrifice the start of the regular season to win that trophy. So it's a great thing that they did, because they currently are winless in the league. I mean, they've only played two matches so far, so small sample size. But yeah, it was a great match. They were able to really stifle the Washington attack. It's a rare day when Trinity Rodman isn't really putting on a show for 90 minutes, and they were able to kind of contain her as best as they could and keep her from doing too much. And yeah, it was a really entertaining match. I think the officiating could have been better, as is the story with a lot of NWSL matches. But yeah, kudos to them. Congratulations to the Courage.
I can't help but think and be happy for Abby Erceg, who, you know, basically watched all of her friends and teammates that aren't Dabinia leave in the off season. And mm-hmm. She said, listen, I'm sticking with the Courage. She's the reason why, pretty much the reason why Sean Nahas has the job. I think he's a great coach, obviously, that he has the pedigree, but Abby Erceg was like, listen, we believe in this guy. I believe in this guy. And for the leader of the team to say that is, you know, obviously a big deal. But it just makes me happy for her, because I think she's a great player. One of the best, and certainly has no signs of slowing down. That's for sure.
Nope.
Abby Erceg is an engine, and she is just, I mean, she's going to be in the league for years. Somebody who we hope to see in the league for years, Jessica Berman, commissioner of the NWSL. I don't know how much commentary you and I can provide on this. It's still early, but she is the NWSL commissioner, started back at the end of April, after she was the commissioner of the National Lacrosse League. So she had to finish up her duties there. And now she is full on. She's 100% into the NWSL. She signed a CBA on national television. Wasn't that the Angel City game, or am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. It was the Angel City inaugural match, and she signed the CBA right there during halftime of said match. And it was, from what I mean, I was at that match, obviously covering Angel City here in Los Angeles, so I saw it from a different perspective. But from what I've heard and from the video clips of it that I've seen on Twitter, it was definitely a unique experience, to say the least.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, that's what the league needs. They need something unique and interesting like that. I remember I didn't watch the game, but I saw it on Twitter and I was like, wait, what? There's no way that they're actually signing it on TV. That's so freaking cool.
With Montel Jordan's, this is how we do it in the background too. That must be pointed out. There's nothing like signing a CBA on national television while the lyric "All the Gangbangers Forgot About the Drive-By" plays in the background. That is something the NWSL needs in all of the ways. All of the ways.
I think I found the title for our episode. That is, see, this is why I'm so glad that you're in Los Angeles, Trevor, because you can give us this content that me and Dan could never dream of. God, I don't know how to follow that. Maybe we should play that now, because the U.S. men's national team, the U.S. women's national team, U.S. soccer came to an agreement on a historic equal pay, legitimate equal pay collective bargaining agreement that will run through 2028. Essentially, the World Cup prize money is being split. Money for appearances and friendlies is being equal. There was another thing that was really important that I'm forgetting. Oh yeah, the commercial licensing for like kits and stuff completely to the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team. The U.S. women's national team doesn't have the guaranteed contracts like they did before, but we already knew that when the NWSL was like, hey, we're going to start paying their salaries and using that allocation money and whatnot. But a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of information there. I wrote about it for Last Word on soccer, so you can check that out with some quotes from Mitch Purse, Walker Zimmerman, and of course U.S. soccer president Sidney Parlow-Cohn. So a lot of good stuff in there. If you want to check that out, we will put it for sure in the show notes. But just it's a historic day for U.S. soccer. Yesterday was a historic day for U.S. soccer. It's something that obviously was a long time coming. I think Walker Zimmerman said it really, really well when he said, listen, there were uncomfortable conversations. There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of, I agree and I disagree. But at the end of the day, both sides, the men's side and the women's side, they wanted to be the first to get it done. And they did that. And they are the first in any federation, the first teams, any federation throughout the world to have equal pay in their collective bargaining agreements. So it's amazing to see. It's some long time coming. Just your thoughts on it before I get into my One Nation, One Team rant.
I mean, yeah, just echoing what you said, it was an historic day. It's something that's been long time coming. I think it was Midge that also said, you know, one thing that her father told her was that, you know, you can't really congratulate people for doing the right thing, which I do understand that viewpoint. And I understand for people to still feel frustrated and upset. But this is still a win. I think it's a first step. I don't think this is like the climax of it, nor should it be. But I think this is an important step and it's a good first step. I mean, this is something that the women's side of soccer has been working on for literal years. And like you pointed out, Zimmerman mentioned, a lot of uncomfortable conversations were had. A lot of things were pointed out. I mean, I think you'd have to be a fool to say it best to not recognize that the women's team has been by far the most successful team of the two. So I think that this is something that they deserve, and they deserve a whole lot more. And hopefully this is that first step to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's the U.S. national teams. For me, it's always been that way. I've always been a supporter of the U.S. men's and women's national team. There are a lot of people, more so on one side than the other, that say, no, you shouldn't be a fan of both of them. I just want to point out that the players of the U.S. men's national team, they're not the only ones making the decisions here. Like, it's not like they were saying, no, we don't want to pay the women equally all these years. And a lot of people in the women's soccer community like to point fingers and say, oh, well, it's the men, it's the men, it's the men. And that's not necessarily true. I have seen a lot of U.S. men's national team players very vocal, very supportive for equal pay, very supportive and vocal and just supporting of the team. And I've seen the same thing for the women's team. I always love to see Becky Sauerbrunn is like one of the biggest hype people for the U.S. men's national team, which is great to see. But I've definitely seen a lot of people saying, oh, well, isn't it funny when the U.S. men lose and the women win? And it's like, no, it's not funny. I want to see both teams do well. I think most people should want to see both teams do well. And I hope now that this CBA has been reached, it's a historic equal pay, incredible CBA. I hope people can finally just get it through their heads that they're allowed to root for both teams. And it's not a bad thing if you root for the men's team. It's not a bad thing if you root for the women's team. It's a good thing that you root for both of them. So I hope that U.S. soccer and the fans for both national teams really start to embrace this one nation, one team mindset and attitude. It's the way it should have been all along, but I hope it finally gets done now. That's what I have to say about that.
Oh, that's good. Agreed.
I'm so glad because like, I love talking about both national teams. I mean, I don't have a favorite over the other. I love both teams. They're great.
At the risk of getting tomatoes, I am a Mexico supporter. So I kind of like it when both sides tend to lose. But yeah, I think if you're going to support a nation, support both sides. I think it's counterproductive to try to pit one against the other when you're all trying to fight for the same thing, which is to prove that America is indeed a soccer country. And the only way to do that is to have both sides of the coin performing well. But if we could real quick double back to the Jessica Berman news.
Sure.
Because I do have something that I do want to get off my chest. Anyone who is involved in women's soccer, especially on WOSO Twitter this week, may have seen I don't want to necessarily call it drama because I don't think it is drama. I think it's important to point these things out. But Jessica McDonald pointed out that she was unclear as to how many matches in the NWSL regular season she had played. And she was certain that the 100th match, which is in soccer, a very big milestone, was something that went overlooked. And upon investigating, it come to find out it was indeed overlooked. She hit the 100th match mark a couple years ago. She's at 159 when the news hit. I believe with the recent match yesterday, she's at 160 right now. And so for Jessica Berman, I would just say, like, it's good to do the big things. It's good to do the grandiose things, to get all of the bad and all of the major scandals that have hit NWSL. It's good to root those out. But it's also important to do what is the bare minimum. And I think that making sure teams in the league understand that highlighting a player's career milestone is the bare minimum. And if you really want this league to flourish, a big part of that is going to be showing the players that you support them, that you love them, that you appreciate them. And if you can't handle something as simple as saying, hey, congratulations on hitting 100 matches for us, then I think we have a big problem. So for Berman, I would just say, yeah, it's important to focus on the big, but don't forget about the bare minimum things, the things that really do go a long way. Because I think as McDonald showed us with how she expressed herself on Twitter, these are things that players find important. They find it important to feel appreciated and to feel that support, not just from the fans, but from the organization that they give everything for. So that was my rant. I just feel like that's something that can be done that is literally basement level, bare minimum. And I think it's something that should be addressed going forward and making sure we don't forget about.
Agreed on all fronts with you, Trevor. I think that was well said. I'm not going to add anything more to it because I think you said it very well. Thank you. With that said, let's move on to our next segment where we are doing, Trevor, for the first time, I think you're doing this, Contenders and Pretenders. Woo, jazz hands.
Yeah, first time.
And I think you got the rules down, Pat. I'm excited to have this discussion about our Contenders and Pretenders. both of the expansion teams have been named in Contenders and Pretenders, and we're not telling you which ones yet. But at least one of them will be revealed right now, because Trevor, sir, you get to go first with Contenders and tell us which expansion team is yours.
Well, I don't think it's much of a surprise if you've watched the regular season so far, but it is the San Diego Wave. They are at the top of my list for Contenders right now. Up until last night, they did lose last night. So up until last night, they were undefeated. Alex Morgan had the match, I believe it was against I don't want to say the Spirit because I feel like that's wrong. It might have been, no, it's against Gotham, the other side of the coin that I'm going to be talking about today, where Alex Morgan put four past them in her kind of coming to the season moment for San Diego. So, yeah, they're a team that not only attack well, but defend well. A player I'll be talking about more later, Naomi Girma, has flourished with them. They have a great mix of veteran presence with Alex Morgan, Jody Taylor. They have a lot of young talent coming up. They've been winning games and doing so convincingly. I think a lot of times for expansion side, one of them will be mentioned by you, and we'll talk about that later. But I think a lot of times with expansion side is just about winning by any means necessary, no matter how that looks. But San Diego has won and done so in convincing fashion. So I think they're a team that people probably thought could make the playoffs and make some noise. But I think four games in, they're a team that need to be looked at legitimately as a NWSL title contender.
All right. The San Diego Wave are Trevor's contender, and my contender might be a bit of a hot take here, folks, but the team that beat San Diego last night kind of shocked them with a win. Rossing Louisville FC. Yes, they are absolutely my contenders. Did they have the greatest of challenge cups? No, they did not, but they were still getting their feet wet with a new head coach. And by the way, I said it off of the air right before Trevor and I started that Kim Bjorkengren is probably my favorite head coach in the league. I think on the last podcast that Trevor and I did, I really hyped him up, and I think he has lived up to that hype so far. He's an interesting coach in the sense of, you know, for comparison, it's every American's dream to go to Europe, and it's every American coach's dream to go to Europe in the men's game. That those are considered the best leagues over there. Whereas in the women's game, the NWSL is considered the best league, if not one of the best. So for him to make that jump from Europe with a Champions League team like Apollon Ladies FC, and then to come to the NWSL, it's kind of a flip-flop there. It's you know, the dream now to come to the NWSL, and I think it's really cool that he got that chance, and he's getting that chance with Rossing Louisville. Listen, they're not the flashiest of teams. They're a young team, but I think they have some really good players. Savannah DeMello hit a rocket, just absolutely stunning free kick last night, besting Kaylin Sheridan, which is not easy to do. I like Katie Lund. I think she's a good goalkeeper. I don't think she's the best goalkeeper in the league, but I think she is a solid goalkeeper, and it's why she won that starting job over Michelle Batos, who is now with Gotham FC. I think Ebony Salmon needs to kick it into high gear a little bit. She has kind of been lackluster during the Challenge Cup. Would like to see her get into that form that she had last year when she came and just absolutely lit up the league. And I think the like little acquisitions that Louisville have had, whenever that rule came out from UEFA that international players that are playing in for a Russian team could void their contracts without any penalty because of the sanctions against Russia for the war in Ukraine. Louisville picked up Shania Gordon. I think she's been a good pickup for them. She's been a good player off of the bench. She gives them good legs, and she is pretty lethal in front of goal, and I hope to see her score here soon. That would be nice. CeCe Kaiser, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. And then Trevor, you just mentioned her. Jess McDonald is showing no signs of slowing down. She is in that same conversation with Abby Ersig that, yes, they might not be the youngest players on the pitch anymore, but they are still really, really solid. And I was definitely intrigued to see how she would do. I know she requested the trade and she wanted to come to Louisville. But I was a little bit nervous. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if she still has it in her. And she does. She's completely proven me wrong. And I've never been more happy to see a player prove me wrong, because Jess McDonald is one of the most, if not the most likable player in women's soccer. I think she has a great story. Love the photos of her son in her jersey at the games. And yeah, I think Louisville, they're a young team, but I think they're a good team. I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the way, but I think it's been a good start for them so far. And I'm expecting a lot of really good things from this side and from their coach. Cause don't sleep on him. I think he's a really, really good coach. And I think a lot of people are going to see that this season. With that said, moving on, we are going to go to our pretenders. As the name insinuates, folks, these are the teams that right now we're not too keen on. We are not too convinced by them, and we don't think that they are going to be climbing up the ladder anytime soon. So, Trevor, tell us why this certain New York, New Jersey team is your pretender.
Simply put, they just haven't been good. And I mean, I'm someone that tries to take results into account to an extent. I try to factor in as many things as possible, but just nothing about Gotham has been inspiring at all. Their run in the Challenge Cup was pretty rough. There was a lot of they were on the wrong end of a lot of lopsided games. Only two games into the season so far this year, but kind of just on both extreme ends of the spectrum. They got the 3-0 win against Orlando. And then, as I mentioned earlier, they had that 4-0 loss to San Diego. Alex Morgan putting four past them herself, I think, is a huge deal. They just haven't really looked good defensively. They haven't looked as solid as we know that they can be in attack. I think that's the thing that's most surprising, is just how lackluster their attack has been. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing about them too is that's been more frustrating, is they were a team I think a lot of people looked at as a team to take the next step, kind of insert themselves into that competitive contender kind of atmosphere, especially coming off the rebrand and stuff. But it's been a rough go in 2022. I think as it stands now, they're a team that will probably miss the playoffs more so than I see them making the playoffs.
Well said. And the only thing I'm going to have to say about Gotham is, wow, people are actually shocked that a team that traded for pretty much all older players aren't doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that.
Who would have thought? we're just going to leave that there.
It's a shocker, right? It's totally surprising. Unreal.
Right. Wink, wink. I see you, Trevor. I see you. Don't worry. All right, Trevor, you got to bear with me here. My pretender, and before all of the certain PRESS stands get their tomatoes and throw them at me, I just want you to hear me out here. My pretender is Angel City FC. They are currently sitting in third place right now, although I don't even care about the standings, because some teams have only played three games and some have played four games. Listen, I'm sold on Kristen Press. She's a great attacker. I don't think there needs to be much said there. I give a heck of a lot of kudos to Jasmine Spencer for basically doing a 180 and going from a forward to a defender in such a short amount of time. And she's done a really good job. I haven't watched a lot of Angel City games just because of the time zone, but from the highlights and some of the analytical pieces that I've read on Jasmine Spencer, I'm just incredibly impressed by her versatility to go from an attacking forward to being now a defender. in the NWSL. And I'm sold on Vanessa Gill. I think she is a really good defender. I was very surprised to see her make the move from Europe to the United States, but it's paying off very well for her. I think she's a very good defender. But there are just certain aspects from Angel City that I'm not 100% convinced on. I think they need a better goalkeeper. And Didi Haricich, she seems like a wonderful person. I dig her photography. I love her Instagram. But I remember the first couple games of the Challenge Cup, everybody was screaming, oh my gosh, Didi Haricich, best goalkeeper in the league. And I was like, since when? I don't think she's had the strongest of performances in the Challenge Cup and the regular season. And I'm not 100% sold on her being their number one. I think she's, if anything, the short-term option there. Of course, you know, Angel City, just like everyone else, that injury to Sarah Gordon certainly hurt them on the defense. That's why Jasmine Spencer is slotted in that spot. But I'm not thrilled with their midfield. I don't think they've been super effective on offense. I think the press goal that she had a couple weeks ago was absolutely incredible. Their game against Portland was obviously, they kicked it up a bit, but they're just too inconsistent with me in terms of attack. Some weeks they're basically doing nothing at the attack, and then the next week they're firing on all cylinders. So their consistency definitely worries me a bit. Out of the expansion teams, I would much more expect San Diego to make the playoffs, but I don't think Angel City is going to do it. I think, and that's okay. You know, they're an expansion team. Rome wasn't built in a day. I don't expect a lot from expansion teams, because it's basically just a bunch of random players from a bunch of other teams thrown together, mixed with a couple draft picks. So I'm not really expecting too much out of them being an expansion team, but I could see Angel City being a middle table team, but I can't really see them in a playoff spot if their consistency issues don't get any better. So that's all that I wrote on Angel City. I said press is a good attacker, so please don't throw your tomatoes at me or come at me on Twitter. So we're going to move on to some player. This is just something we threw in a little extra. Some players that we have been impressed by in 2022. Trevor, before I let you go, I noticed earlier today, we both had one player in common on this list, and it's a goalkeeper from the Pacific Northwest. Fallon Tullis-Joyce, I think that is pretty much a consensus around the league that she has been a player that impressed during the Challenge Cup and during the beginning of the NWSL regular season. What have you seen that you like from her?
I mean, everything. I mean, I think the thing that I like about any goalkeeper is when they can come up with the saves you don't really expect them to, right? Like I've said it before, when talking about the men's game and the women's game, but this is my feeling on goalkeepers in general. Just a true number one goalkeeper is one that is going to win you games. And I know that that sounds odd considering their job is to keep goals out. But I think that when you look over the course of a match, you know, when you have a goalkeeper that you can point to and say, they've kept out legitimately two or three goals for us, I think that's huge. And she's a player that does that. She's great in the open space. She's confident with the ball at her feet in terms of when it's played back to her, which is also important for a keeper because, especially in a league like the NWSL, there's a lot of savvy and a lot of talented attackers. So they will capitalize on literally any mistake you make back there. So just as you said, it was her performance in the Challenge Cup that really opened eyes. And so far, what she's done in the season hasn't slowed down. I mean, it feels like she's only impressed. And as of this week, I believe she's now recorded, I want to say, 5 save of the weeks within the league in just 11 appearances. So doing things like that lets us know that you are definitely a player that needs to be praised. And yeah, I mean, I think she's on the fast track to being one of, if not the best keeper in the league, for sure.
And you never know where those saves of the week are going to take you. She was born in New York, New York. Oh my gosh, I am only 16 days older than her. That is crazy. She was born October 19th, 1996. I was born October 3rd, 1996. Look at what she's doing with her life and look at what I'm doing with my life. Wow. Okay, we're just stopping the podcast there because I'm too upset to move on now.
Existential crisis hitting.
I'm having, okay, I cried during This Is Us. I'm not going to cry again. Wow. Okay. You never know where those saves of the week, where those performances are going to take you. You know, with the allocated or contracts being gone, not Greg Berhalter. Good Lord, Vlatko Amanovsky. I mean, Greg Berhalter can
they
call
might
her.
Be able to use her. Yeah,
yeah. I don't freaking Jesus Lord. Her or Stefan Fry. They're both Seattle goalkeepers. Give them a shot. Come on, Greg. Come on. Okay, there's my one MLS shout out in this podcast. Get Stefan Fry a call up and get Fallon Tullis Joyce a call up too for the U.S. women's national team, even if it's just a camp where it's just training. I mean, come on, man, she's so freaking good. And then shout out to our Matt Pollard, because she went to the University of Miami and Matt did a little bit of schooling there. So throw up the U for Matt, throw up the U for Fallon Tullis Joyce. The U. Oh my. I wonder if Matt knew that. I'll have to ping him about that. But Trevor, take us through the rest of your list. You've got two players on here that I'm excited to hear you talk about.
Yeah, so my list is an all defensive list. So we got through the goalkeeper, and now moving on to the defenders. I have San Diego's own Naomi Girma. I think, you know, we call this the players who have been impressed by or who have surprised us, so to speak. I think with Naomi Girma, it's a little bit much like with Trinity Rodman, and I kind of hate making that comparison at all. Just because of what that brings, but they do play two completely different positions, so I should be okay. But just in terms of, like, anyone who saw Trinity play before she arrived knew she would be a star, knew she would do well, but just how quickly she settled into the league and how quickly she took over as one of the faces of the future of women's soccer in this country, like, I think that was a surprise. And it's a bit of the same with Naomi Girma, where I'm not necessarily surprised that she's done so well. I'm just more, I guess, pleasantly surprised at how well she's doing so quickly. She's become a cornerstone for that San Diego defense. She's become one of the most popular players on that team, which, considering some of the bigger names, quote unquote, that they have, is really impressive. And she's done really well. I mean, she's a player that's definitely going to get a lot of accolades in her future. I really love the way she plays. If you haven't checked out a Wave game yet, when you do, make sure you pay attention to the back line and Naomi Girma. She is consistently stuck in the starting 11, written in pen for sure. And staying in that central defensive role, Megan Reed on the other expansion side, and actually some tie in with San Diego. She's currently a defender with Angel City. She's someone that I feel like, given the context of the season, has really impressed me. Undrafted, spent some time playing amateur soccer, was brought in initially to the San Diego camp at the beginning of the year, ended up not making the roster there, came to Angel City, not only made the roster, but was inserted into the starting lineup. And honestly, since the day she started, that Angel City defense has not looked back. They have vastly improved. They let in 10 goals over three matches before her. And so far, they've kept a couple clean sheets since her start going back to the Challenge Cup. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, they've only let in, I want to say, two goals in their last five matches. So she's a player that had to come in, as we mentioned before, Sarah Gordon's injury prevented her from playing at all. Megan Reed stepped in with some other rotating going along the back, but she came in. She's been really good with Vanessa Giles there in the central defense. She's been a really good help with Jasmine Spencer on that left side. They do play the same side. And a lot of times when you watch Angel City matches, Megan Reed is right there making some impressive stops down. I don't want to say necessarily goal line, but definitely down in the box. She gets in there. She gets physical. I really like seeing what she's done. And I think that she's a player that not many people know of. And I think they will know about her very, very soon.
Good stuff, Trevor. My picks are a little bit more on the attacking side. Staying with the San Diego Wave, the expansion sides, I've been impressed by Alex Morgan. And listen, you might be thinking, Alex Morgan, really? Like, we expect that from her. But I mean, I'm going to be totally honest with you, Trevor. She was hot garbage in Orlando. I mean, she was not good in Orlando. I genuinely don't know if she cared. And I think a lot of that, and I could go on this rant for hours, but I think those guaranteed contracts were very problematic for the league, because it was like, oh, well, you don't have to perform anymore to get a call up. Like, if you were just given these allocated contracts with the U.S. Women's National Team, you're going to get called up, because guess what? They're paying for your contract. So they're going to call you up no matter what. They're not going to pay you and then not call you up. So I think now that these guaranteed contracts are up, and, you know, listen, Vlatko Andonovski didn't call her in for a couple camps late in 2021 and then early here in 2022, because he just said she hasn't been performing well. So for her to be performing very well shows me now she has a fire under her. And I think that has to do a lot with those allocated contracts. So kudos to her for really stepping it up and giving Vlatko a reason why she needs to be in that national team camp. For the June friendlies, and then ultimately for the CONCACAF Women's Tournament in the summer in Mexico. So I've been impressed with her. Her 4-goal game was absolutely excellent. Just completely tore up Gotham. And she did it on her daughter's birthday. I mean, come on, what a story that is. And then shifting back to my contender, Rossing Louisville, Savannah DeMello has been really good for them. I've been impressed with how she did in the Challenge Cup and in the NWSL regular season so far. Seriously, folks, if you haven't watched her goal against San Diego, I mean, just the fake from Jalen Howe skipping over the ball, and then DeMello just firing it up and over the wall and then past Kaylin Sheridan. I mean, it is just a goal of just straight up beauty. And I mean, seriously, if you didn't see it, you got to go see it. It's a great goal. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about her except go watch that goal. But that's going to do it for our contenders, pretenders, and then players we've been impressed by segment. We don't really have a round table because we did the news to start off the podcast. So we are going to go here into pick'ems, and I threw this one in there just because it's the league I'm covering and I love covering it. And I'm very excited about this match, but in international soccer, Liga MX Femenil, we've got Chivas de Guadalajara and Pachuca in the Liga MX Clausura grand finale. There are two legs. Sadly, folks, the first leg is not going to be, legally able to watch in the United States on Friday, May 20th. You're probably listening to the show on Friday. The game is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific time. There are no American broadcasts or American broadcast Spanish language rights from United States channels in Pachuca. So again, not going to be legally allowed. If I find a YouTube stream, I might have to send y'all a link. But on Monday, May 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time on Telemundo Deportes and Chivas TV, you'll be able to catch the second leg, ultimately the most important leg, because that's where the winner gets decided. So I kind of told Trevor who I wanted him to pick in this one, but just as a little piece of history here, folks, Chivas and Pachuca were the first ever Liga MX final back in 2017 in the Apertura. Chivas ended up taking the very first Liga MX title. They ended up making it to another final. And I think they lost to Tigres. But Pachuca looking to rewrite history, looking to win in their first final since that 2017 final. So I am going to go with the upset here because I saw Tigres was able to cancel out Alicia Cervantes, who was the Golden Boot winner this year in the Clausura with 14 goals. But on the flip side, CF Monterrey was not able to cancel out Charolyn Corral, who has just been on a tear this season for Pachuca. So I think Pachuca is going to get the edge, and I think they're going to win their first ever Liga MX title. Trevor, are you going to go with what I told you?
Yeah, I love a good underdog. I love a good underdog. Yes. I love a team that has a legitimate, because we've seen a lot of coaches try to use this tactic in the past, a team that has a legitimate us against the world mentality. I love that. You give me an underdog, I'm always going to root for them, unless it's an underdog going against a team that I feel passionately about, which in this matchup, I don't really have skin in the game. So yeah, I'll ride with you, and I'll ride with Pachuca.
All right. I love it. I was telling Trevor off the air today, I wrote this story for Equalizer. Sarah Lubert, former Club America loanee from Chicago, she is back with the Red Stars, and a mutual friend of mine and Trevor, Theo Lloyd Hughes, asked, well, who are you going to root for? And she said, I can't pick Chivas. So she is also on the Pachuca hype train, even though Pachuca knocked out her Club America in the Ligilia. So moving on to the NWSL games, I picked a couple of games here. This week's schedule for the weekend is actually not that great, to be honest with you. So I just picked some matches that I think Trevor and I have at least either some skin in the game in, or just they're the best out of a terrible slate of games. Angel City FC versus the Kansas City Current, Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on Twitch. Trevor, who you got, scoreline, and why?
I'm going to have to be a homer. I got Angel City. I have Angel City winning at home 2-0. I like Kansas City. I'm one of, I think, many people who before the season picked them as a team that could kind of have a comeback year, so to speak, with the addition of Lynn Williams and Sam Uys. Unfortunately, we haven't. I mean, obviously, Lynn Williams had this season an injury, so we won't see her this season. Haven't seen much of Sam Uys, also because of being kept out in injuries and stuff. And so to see them, I mean, they're a team that's had a rough start. They're dealing with a lot. They're coming into an environment that, through two matches so far, has proven to be one of the toughest environments in the NWSL. Los Angeles fans have done really well to make the bank a fortress for Angel City, as much as they have the other team that plays there. So I got to run with the Angels on this one. 2-0, Angel City.
Oh, I want Kansas City to be good so badly.
I do too. I really want them to be good.
They're literally, to me, they're like the most likable team. I don't know why. I love Edmonds. I love Labonta. I was so crushed when Williams had that season ending injury, because I was really excited to see what she could do with the team. And I love their owners. I love Chris and Angie Long. Chris Long, I got to talk to him last year. He's one of the nicest guys I think you'll ever meet. And oh my God, I want them to be good so badly. I think this is going to be a 1-0 Angel City win. Sorry, Kansas City. The injuries are just piling up for them, man. Them in Chicago, holy smokes.
Yeah. Angel City's getting healthier, to be fair.
Yeah, they are.
Cousins is returning in the midfield. Le'Veon, we saw her make her debut, and she looked incredibly impressive. Paige Nielsen's coming back, so.
And got a ring, and she got a ring.
Yeah. She got a ring and then couldn't get her earring out to actually make her season debut. So you win some, you lose some.
I love it. That's so great. Gotham FC and Rossing Louisville, your pretender versus my contender, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. Pacific time on Paramount Plus. I mean we both got to pick Racing, right? I'm gonna go Racing with the 3-0 win.
I'm gonna go Rossing. I was gonna say 3-1. I was gonna give Gotham a goal right at the end, but I think we're on the same page. Rossing is just too strong for him.
Yeah, and then Gotham's still in, like, what, COVID protocol?
Yeah, I think half their team is still missing in action.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're gonna come in extremely shorthanded and already having a rough go of the season against a team that's having a great start to their season. So good luck. I mean, and as we've seen so far, anything in this league can absolutely happen, but my money's on Rossing in this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 3-0 for me. Oh man, the match that literally the only good match this weekend, like the only enticing match, because it has been an SHIT storm this whole year with so many matches between the two sides already. But Olo Reign, Washington. Oh man, these two have gone at it so much already this year. Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time on Paramount Plus. That's right when church ends for me. So I think I'll have to take a couple sneak peeks in between Life Teen on Sunday night in that game. I don't know who you got and why.
Oh man, this one is actually like, this is one of those matches where you had to sit and think about. But I got to go Washington Spirit. Even though my Angel City were able to get the win against them, they're still a very tough team. And not at no point in that match last night did I feel like Angel City was ever safe, because they weren't. Trinity Rodman up top, we always talk about her. She's, you know, the one that you should talk about. But they also have Ashley Hatch up there. I mean, they're just... To me, they're the most complete team in the league, and I know the OL Reign are also a very good, complete team, but I have the Washington Spirit edging this one out 2-1. I will say this, they get the game-winning goal in the 73rd minute. How about that?
Oh, very specific. Do you have a goal scorer while you're at it?
Let's say Hatch to Rodman for the win.
Okay. I dig it. I got to be a homer here and go with OL Reign.
I figured that was coming.
Yeah, I got to be a homer. I think it's going to be just pure chaos and an absolute crapshoot. OL Reign, game-winning goal from... Let's go with a Jess Fishlock game winner in the 82nd minute.
I can totally see that. That's the
82nd minute. Yep, the dragon strikes in the 82nd. I know this next one is one that you and I are both really, really excited for. Oh,
gosh. You want to talk about heavyweight fights. This is the one everyone should be excited for.
Before we talk about it, we're going to be talking about the UEFA Women's Champions League final, of course, between Barcelona and Lyon. But, like, for the longest time, Trevor, I don't know if you've caught glimpses of the women's game long enough to know this, but there has always been this attitude of, like, everybody needs to be nice to each other. Like, we can't critique. But no, we're done. We're done with that. We're done playing nice. I love the back and forth. Like when Ada Hegerberg got up and was like, yeah, dude, Lyon has been baller this whole time. And like, y'all never noticed us. And now y'all want to praise Barcelona. Like that's what I'm talking about. I want some like good old fashioned SHIT talking and like, yeah, just like give me all of the rivalries, And I mean, Lyon, they've got what, 7 Champions League titles? They won 7 in a row. And then Barcelona came in and interrupted everything. This is like the perfect, literally the perfect UEFA Women's Champions League matchup. I'm very excited for it. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I wrote 10 p.m. on our sheet. Let me just change that. 10 a.m. Pacific time. So Trevor, get your coffee. You have time to get your breakfast. It's going to be on Paramount Plus, folks. You should all definitely tune in. It's going to be a great game. I'm going to let you go first here. Who do you got and why?
Oh, man. I mean, just to echo what you said, you're right. I've been following and been involved in the women's game a long time, and there's been a lot of this kind of sentiment of we're all winners, we all get trophies, we can't critique, we can't say anything bad. And then you have teams like Barcelona and Lyon who will absolutely snatch your soul, score 10 goals, and then laugh about it afterwards. They have zero remorse. They are absolutely the two best teams on the planet right now. Barcelona is in the middle of the most madness of madnesses I've ever seen anyone decide to pull. They seemingly can't lose. This is going to, if you watch any soccer between now and next week, like, make sure it's this match. I don't care. I don't care who's playing. I don't care about the final day of the Premier League. I don't care about any of that. This is the match to watch. I have Lyon pulling it out. I will say 3-2.
Ooh.
And I'm hoping that we get a Katarina Macario game winner, if not a Katarina Macario hat trick, if not both of those things at the same time. I mean, that's the player that, I mean, obviously you're going to watch all of Barcelona, but for me, anytime Kat is on the field, that's who I'm paying attention to. And I think Lyon gets it. I think Lyon pulls it off. Surprisingly, you mentioned they've won all the trophies, but I think they're going into this one as the underdogs. And like I mentioned before, mm-hmm. I like a good underdog. And I think Lyon pull it off 3-2.
Trevor Tracy, I am shocked. Oh, my gosh.
I rode the fence on that one a lot because Barcelona, I mean, if you don't know by now, I'm an Arsenal supporter. So I know firsthand the damage Barcelona can do to your team. And, you know, I'm still traumatized from it. So Lyon, please, 3-2 win. Kat, lift the trophy and send Woso Twitter into a frenzy. Let's do it.
Give me Barcelona. All right, I'm about to blow your socks off. I hope you're sitting down. Yep. I'm gonna go 3-0. I said it. And that's hard for me to
say. Not even a cheeky Renard goal for Leo?
Dude, I freaking love Endler too. It makes me so.
Not even a cheeky like corner Renard goal, just you know.
I know.
She's like 10 feet taller than everybody.
I could only wish as a 5'1", 1996, 16 days older than Fallon Tullis Joyce. could only dream. Dude, I hate picking against Endler and I hate picking against Macario and Horan, but yeah, I just think Barcelona's too good right now. I think, you know.
Yeah.
30 games, 30 wins. Just they've got all the confidence. They got all the swag on their side. Yeah, I think they get the shutout. I don't know. That's a really bold take, even by my standards. I've come up with some bold takes before, but that yeah. one, I think that one might take the cake. I know that's, yeah, I thought about it before saying it. And then I was like, nah, go with your gut. I am an agent of chaos. So yeah, I don't know, man. Let's go with Barcelona 3-0. You can pick your jaw up off of the floor for your last words, Trevor. I'll let you do that. So just tell the fine folks here where we can find you on social media, and then give us any last words.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm on Twitter at Treb Tracy. That's where you can find all of my ramblings about all things LA soccer and soccer in general. And yeah, I think I've mentioned in every podcast we've done so far that I'm just excited to get the NWSL season going, and we're finally here. We missed a couple weeks. Unfortunately, couldn't wax too much poetic on the Angel City inaugural home match. But being there was such a great moment. I mean, you talk about experiences and just historic events. That was definitely one of them. So getting to say that I was there for that is something that I'll never forget. And yeah, I mean, this is the middle of the season now. Challenge Cup is behind us. It's time to see how well these teams perform. Unfortunately, we're going through a bit of a COVID situation again. Hopefully that gets stamped out immediately, expeditiously, so that we can continue to watch great soccer, because it's been so much fun so far. You just can't tell what's going to happen in this league. Teams we thought that would be good have been terrible. Teams we thought would be terrible are sitting second place in the league right now. So, I mean, how else can you sell the NWSL other than it's pure chaos? And we're finally at a point, I think, where we're going to have a lot more good chaos and less of the bad chaos. And this is going to be great. It's going to be good. I can't wait.
Good stuff, Trevor. Got a couple things I want to say for my last words. Just first and foremost, thank you, thank you, thank you to our wonderful sponsors. We will start with Icarus FC. Trevor, are you tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas?
Yes.
Are you looking for unique completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult or even pro team? Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price with the motto, any design you want. Seriously, let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Thank you, Icarus FC. And thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team today at RoughneckScarves.com. So shout out to both of them. Thank you. Thank you also to the Beautiful Game Network and Last Word on Sports Incorporated for letting us do this. Shout out to Matt and Dan for always supporting us doing this NWSL show. Hopefully sometime soon we can get Dan on this show to talk about the KC Current. But just last words for me, I said what I said about the U.S. women's national team and the men's national team. Let's just get on this one nation, one team. Let's really go all out this summer with just the biggest and best support in the CONCACAF Women's Championship. And of course, in the 2022 FIFA World Cup, especially in that game against England. Come on, y'all. I'm looking forward to some really, really great soccer. Although I will be missing most of the the CONCACAF Women's Championship. I will be in Hawaii for most of it. And my spouse said no computer, no soccer during our trip. So I will oblige by his wishes. Just want to take a minute and dedicate this show. In between the last time we did this podcast, one of my students, passed away back in April. She was a soccer player. It happened around the same time as the soccer game. So I just want to dedicate this episode to Samantha Marie and to her family. We're still thinking of you. We're always thinking of you. I'm praying for you, and may God rest her eternal soul with the Lord. And just thanks again, Trevor, for coming on. Hope we can do this soon. Hope we can do this before the CONCACAF Women's Championship, because I know we'll have a lot to talk about there with La Tri, with the Ticas, of course, the U.S. Women's National Team. And maybe we can get Raheem on to talk about the Canadian Women's National Team. He has a lot of great expertise there and has been doing some really good stuff. Folks, check out all of our writers' work on Last Word on sports.com/soccer. Lots of really good content out there. And then for a small plug, if you ever want to check out my Liga MX stuff, it is available on equalizersoccer.com. But folks, that's going to do it for us tonight. Sure, you'll be listening to this on Friday before the weekend slate of games and the Champions League to see if my prediction was completely out of the blue. No way it's ever going to happen, or maybe it will happen. Who knows? But thanks to everyone, to our sponsors, to Trevor, for myself, that is good night, and we will talk to you next time.